Welcome to Be Simply. This is She, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We are connecting to the dream, the possibility of co-creation, and looking at the 360-degree view of the dream. And we're going to talk about the duality that exists on this planet that sometimes prevents us from starting to look at the illusion that we're living in, and what happens when we look at some different traditions and how the dream continues from waking state to sleeping state and goes on and on and on. And once we tap into this, we'll discuss how we can celebrate joy within the mundane and within maybe the profane and within the magic that you would like to unfold in your life if you so do wish for something like that to occur. So what we're going to do right now is just ground into the space and connect for a moment. This is called Breathing Out from Shaman's Dream, and this is actually a little compilation from an album that was made for Off the Mat and Into the World, which is an organization that we featured with Suzanne Sterling. There are three women that are yogis that create some seva with what they do, and this is their organization. We'll put the link below. This is one of the songs, Breathing Out. It's very dreamy in its essence. And I want you, wherever you're sitting, just to really think about that you're in a dream right now. And why did you construct the space you're in to look like it does? And what does that mean? And what's around you? And what's arrived today? Just contemplate it. Allow your mind to wander a little bit. Don't put judgment. Don't criticize it. Just be a little child with wonderment, like this is, you just came into this room in your dream and you're creating it. So see what happens as you connect, and then we come back, we'll go a little bit deeper into the illusion that we're living in, and we'll connect with some traditions around the globe. Just bringing yourself back to here and taking a moment just to connect to that dream and the imaginary state of our potential reality. I think my father said it best. He went to the Air Force Academy and his friends that were jet fighters and pilots have told him from time to time, you know, all of this could be happening on the head of a pin. So I love hearing that from a pilot because, you know, they have this bird's eye view, so to speak, and especially a jet fighter pilot because they're moving very rapidly through time and space. So when you get to experience that in such a big machine, your perceptions of reality start to shift. And just as if you were potentially in the last segment of music taking some time to really connect to the illusory state of our reality and take a moment and just contemplate the dream aspect of it. And this is why I'll always be encouraging people to take time for silence. The segment we did with Wuda just the other day was a great reminder that if you don't take time for that silence, then all these other things that you might be doing aren't really going to cultivate and deepen the roots of your practice. You might just stay in a stagnation place or create a lot of stories around your reality. So one, it's important to take some time to contemplate life, and then it's really important to live life, and then it's important just to be still, silent, let go of it all, let go of all the stories. And then when you allow all of that to merge is when you start to see the illusion that we're creating and the delusion and the suffering that we cling to, and that we can really start to focus on the world that we would like to see around us. And bit by bit, those things will start to shift. So for example, last night in Giving Tree, I mentioned that if we wanted to start creating a change, if we do it within ourselves, and then it starts to have a self-organizing principle and things start to shift. For example, organic food. Now people have an awareness that things were going on in laboratories and on industrial farming. So a whole global communication, countries are opposing different ways of producing agriculture, and that's creating a shift. It didn't happen from one specific spot. It started from the collective conversation, and then people started realizing, oh, I want to eat this way. I don't want this. And then the supply and demand creates the change. So that's very tangible, food growing in the earth. But the same thing happens in the collective consciousness. It's been noted, I think I've mentioned it before on segments, that Gandhi, when he was doing nonviolent opposition, it wasn't in that moment of standing up against the British. It was actually in those times of quiet silence in the in-between, in the gaps, that created that collective change. If there's enough people moving from that heart space and not clinging, and this is the difference, when we are wanting things because of our needs and to satiate our senses, it's a very different frequency. It doesn't mean that you won't get it, but sometimes it comes with a little bit of a price tag. And though that's okay, it's just lessons to be learned. It's kind of like a child, I think I've used the metaphor before, if they want to eat a bunch of ice cream, they might get sick, and then they realize, ooh, I never want to eat ice cream again, or they'll realize that they just want a small amount of ice cream. So this happens for grown-ups too, that they have to realize over time, certain lessons that they're to learn, and the things that we grasp for most are probably the things that we don't need, but we need to understand why we don't need them. So how this relates to the dreaming practice is that we're sending out these ideas, these concepts, and then we start to dream them up. And if we're playing the suffering game and we wonder, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Why do these people keep showing up? Then you have to keep meeting that situation and see if you can approach it differently. I've done this time and time again. Sometimes I haven't unlocked the code to figure out how I'm really supposed to show up. But if you come forward in a heart space, a kindness space, you'll really notice the difference in your dream. So how do all these cultures celebrate dreaming? Right now, I would say on our planet, we have indigenous tribes still that exist in a Earth-based system. They're very small. A lot are going to extinction. Then we have a larger populace that's committed to suffering. I would say, if I had to break it up off the top of my head, we probably have 7.1 billion people on this planet committed to suffering, and 0.1 billion, and that probably is a little high, people that are not committed to suffering. And then within that, I would split it. Half of them are people that know what's going on and know how to create the reality they need from a different vantage. And then you have the other half that are indigenous to this planet, and they are staying tried and true but quiet to what they know and want to, the way they want to not only live this perceived reality, but a continuum through cosmic space. So when we start to look at things like that, like, wow, we have this large collective consciousness that's committed to suffering and committed to being in the story of that. So when we bring this to the dreaming, you can start to shape-shift reality for yourself and others by doing your inner work, by acknowledging your dreams, acknowledging where you have dis-ease in your mind, dis-ease in your heart, dis-ease in your body, and start to nourish that part of your reality. You might be really attuned in one area and say, wow, I've neglected this area. I need to pay attention to this part of the dream. So as I've mentioned in other segments, if you take some time to record your dreams, also pay attention to what's happening there, please feel free to email me at suzannetoro@gmail.com if you want a perspective or some feedback on something that keeps coming to you in your dream state, which is your sleep state, and or your waking state. I can help break it down for you. There are many layers to a dream, and it's not always face value. So cultures, now this is why I was bringing up the big planet. We have all these people on this planet, plus we have a whole lot of ecosystems with a lot of memories on the planet. So we're a bleep, 7.1 billion bleep, and the 0.1 billion bleep real here a very short period of time for as old as the planet is. However, we're still making an imprint, and why not get it back to a vibration where we're really understanding the totality or getting closer to understanding the totality versus stagnating in the suffering game. So the cultural changes that we've experienced on this planet are really fascinating because we can look at these cycles where dreaming in an indigenous sense was almost anywhere in the world, there was a practice, there was an acknowledgement of the dreams. And now in the main populace, it's acknowledged for people maybe in the New Age or spiritual societies. Then there's some practices, as I mentioned, within yogic processes, Tibetan and Indian, East Indian. And then we have Native traditions that acknowledge the dreaming. I thought this was a real beautiful one to carry, to share with you, because I've mentioned tribes in Guatemala and in South America that take dreaming, and if everyone's not in a clear psyche, things stop when the dreams aren't going well. And then if people don't listen to the dreams, then things start to happen. People get ill because they haven't been listening to the dreams. So in this piece, the Iroquois believe, and this is up by the Great Lakes region in North American continent, that our souls have other desires, which are, as it were, inborn and concealed. These, they say, come from the depths of the soul, not through any knowledge. They have no divinity but the dream. They submit themselves to it and follow its orders with the utmost exactness. Whatever they see themselves doing in dreams, they believe they are absolutely obliged to follow through at the earliest possible moment. Iroquois would think themselves guilty of a great crime if they failed to obey a single dream. Now, can you imagine if people were at a place, the majority of our collective human species, that they would listen to their dreams to a point where maybe they wouldn't travel? This is the same all through the jungle in the Amazon, Central and South America, that they will change their day's path. Now, this gets us into that impermanence, because in a Western developed culture, there's a lot of pressure to stay on schedules, to go with a certain flow. And if you do that, you're letting people, if you don't follow through with those plans, you're letting people down. But if we don't listen to the signs and the redirect from something that's beyond here, then we might have, I don't know, consequences, or we might just have to leave this body and come back into a new one till we get it right. So that's why the dreaming is, I find, to be so helpful. For example, out at Hopi this year, their high school was struck by lightning for the day of graduation. Now, a lot of places would still have the graduation on that day, but the leaders said absolutely not. They cleared the school, and then they held it the next day after they felt everything was settled. So in the waking state, that dream, the lightning hitting the location, is a definite sign to listen to. So why wouldn't we listen to these things in our dream, waking or sleep state? So in addition, the Iroquois would go on dreaming quests, taking time to share in dreaming, and this also allows for a deeper connection to Earth. It allows for deeper connection to one another and the opportunity to do some healing. That's where the yogic teachings come in, Tibetan and East Indian, is that the dreaming is an opportunity to clear karma. And in addition, in one of these articles I was reading, they even noted how when Jung and Freud were writing their work, they were connecting to some of the work that the Iroquois did, and more than likely many of the native traditions that were occurring on the North American continent and many other places on the planet that they potentially had access to. So what does this mean? Well, if you take the opportunity to start just with a simple practice of dreaming and allowing yourself during the day, if you get into a practice of potentially preparing yourself for bed, using meditation to go into the dream space, and then when you wake up, meditate when you wake up, clearing your mind, recording dreams, and then realize, I'm just going through this process 24/7. I'm going to be wakeful, meaning I'm going to be awake, mindful, and aware during these experiences. And that if I feel like, oh, I can have just do anything I want in the sleeping time because there's no consequence, well, what if all of a sudden you wake up and you realize that is more of a reality than this is a reality? So bringing in your codes of conduct and your desires, meaning the desire of the imprint you would like to live out as a human being here on planet Earth in this universe, how would you like to transmit that and bring that into the dreaming state? So what we're going to do now is we're going to take another little respite, and I want you just to contemplate your life right now in this moment and think about, how would you like to shift it? We're coming up on a full moon, that there's energy that comes off that moon, and there's time to bring into your dreaming awareness what you would like to bring into this reality. And what we're going to do is we're going to listen to the whispers of our ancestors. So oftentimes we want to get it right, or we want a solution. However, so many options have been lived out over and over again. So if we take time just to sit and think, what do I want my reality to be, and how would I like to dream it? Dreaming it for myself and my fellow humanity, what would I like my reality to be? what do I want to dream it to be? Take gentle breaths, breathing in and out. whispers of our ancestors by Liquid Bloom. So as I was pontificating before we went into that sequence about the dreams and deciding if you want to move your awareness away from suffering, really that's what this is all about. She's simple and silly way to connect you with an aspect of our conscious and subconscious is within the dreaming state, but also in the waking state. So if inspired, start to take a moment wherever you are and feel into the liquid state that it is, the illusion that it is, and see what appears. And then also see if you can notice where you've been attached, especially if there's been trauma, where you have dis-ease that you're ready to let go of, and allow yourself to move away from that which does not feel good and move towards that which feels much better. And as you make that migration and contemplate the illusion that we're living in, you might be surprised as to what unfolds. And remember, you don't have to be a big storyteller. Best to keep it simple. So just play with that. And again, if you have any feedback or questions or comments, please feel free to email me at suzannetoro@gmail.com. Would love to share some of those questions on future segments. And in addition, we'll be bringing together some interviews that coincide with this topic in the upcoming months. As we exit out, the one point that I haven't touched on is co-creation. So what happens when we move away from focusing on the world as we don't want it to be? So right now we're on planet Earth. A good portion of the planet has been connecting with something called the World Cup. And people have been finding a lot of joy in that. And then there's always a continual conversation about the war and politics and things that seem out of our control. However, we all have a part of that within our psyche. And you can decide how much attention you want to give it, especially if you have no way to physically access it, and how you want to show up for that differently. And remember Gandhi, in the silence is how he shifted the situation. It was not in the march, it was in the silence. So if you move from that heart space, think about what's possible. If the 7.1 billion collective consciousness decides to start dreaming and co-creating together a world where there is no suffering, where we all remember the cause of happiness and the dis-ease in the consciousness falls away. Until next time, this is She signing out with a full heart, a big smile, a soft gaze, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply.
Won't be ending soon. I walk with patience to the rainbow. sees that she'll be waiting there. Oh yeah, oh yeah, man, oh yeah, oh. Oh yeah, oh, looks, man, oh yeah, oh. Oh yeah, oh yeah, man, oh yeah, oh. Oh yeah, oh.